You're listening to Quest to the Core, a podcast about leading with intention, clarity, and courage from the inside out, where the leadership journey gets personal, reflective, and powerfully real. In every episode, Jonna and Simone invite you into thoughtful dialogue that challenges assumptions, sharpens self-awareness, and equips you with actionable insights to lead with greater impact. Now, here is today's episode.
Welcome back to Quest to the Core. I'm Simone.
And I'm Jonna. Last episode, we introduced the Strategic Leadership Alignment Model Framework, also referred to as SLAM. For our listeners joining in right now, SLAM is a framework that defines leadership focus across time horizons. So today's actions, tomorrow's goals, and the long-term vision align.
This episode is a practical guide to working at the right level this week. Tiny shifts you can make today, rhythms you can sustain, and tools to keep your focus aligned.
So we're going to walk through in three sections. We're going to focus in on ourself and trying to identify where we're at with our horizon. And then we're going to share some systems we can put in place. And lastly, talk about the sustainability of that in this ever-changing environment. And of course, as always, we will close out with mapping it to our core framework.
Let's do a real quick overview of the model itself. So there's three horizons. And these, when we say horizons, we're talking about time horizons. So most organizations have frontline managers, middle managers, and senior leadership. You can align those horizons to those three levels. Now, if you have more levels than that, all of them are going to fit within those three. So you may have a couple of levels within one horizon. So that first horizon, horizon one, the time frame that you're looking at in there is anywhere from today to up to this month. Any numbers, actions, decisions are all going to impact what happens during that time frame. If you're in horizon two, it may be more of a senior manager, director, vice president level roles. That's where you're responsible for delivering numbers at a month, quarter, year perspective. That's going to be that 1 month to 1 year time horizon. The third one is focusing on long term, and that's going to be more than a year. So the senior level executives, perhaps if your company has a senior vice president or maybe even a C-suite, they may be looking at 1 year to a year and a half to 2 years. And then the CEO is usually going to be looking beyond 3 years. Depending on what's going on in your company, the time frame might work differently, but it all comes down to those three horizons, horizon one, two, and three, short-term, intermediate, and long-term focus.
So how can we identify or locate where we should be in the model?
That's it's a tough one and an easy one at the same time. You want to come back and look at how are the roles structured in my company? And what is the company calling me? And then look at your job description. What are they telling me I'm responsible for delivering? And usually there'll be some language in there around, you know, deliver the customer service level agreement every month, or it might be creating contracts. And that might be a longer term or a year type of frames. Look at what you're responsible for delivering, and that's going to help you identify a general time frame. Is there a different way you would look at it, Jonna, or try to define it for you?
Well, I think that's a great place to start. I think, as we all know, there's that line in our job description and other duties as assigned, I think can sometimes cloud or create some uncertainty of, okay, what am I really being asked to do? So I think, you know, sometimes it may be taking a step back and saying, okay, what is it that I'm spending my time doing and what's being asked of me, right? So really, what is it that I'm being asked to produce can potentially help us figure out where we're located at.
Where we should be, not where we are.
Yes, where we should be.
Yeah. And I think the where we are is a different question.
It is totally a different question, which I jumped the gun because we're getting there.
Yeah.
No,
but I think, you know, I think it's important to look at both. You know, when you're dealing with this particular model, you want to find out from a self perspective, where am I supposed to be and where am I? to help you identify where you are, one question I like to ask is, how do you know you're being successful? If you cannot articulate it, you quite possibly are working in the wrong time zone. And if you misarticulate it, that might be some of the reasons that you're feeling some struggles or some friction that is differences of opinion, or you may struggle collaborating with others. But if you're a frontline manager and you wake up that morning and you're worried about the company is not going to meet the sales targets for the year, you're working in the wrong time zone. You need to wake up in that morning really asking, are we going to deliver what we need to today? Are we going to hit our numbers today? Are we going to hit our numbers this week? And are we going to hit our numbers this month? That's that manager. You know, a supervisor is going to be worried about, are we going to hit the production numbers for today? Are we going to hit the production numbers for this week? Do I have the right staffing to get those numbers? So if, you know, somebody calls out and you're running a warehouse and you're the supervisor of a warehouse team and someone calls out from your team, you know right away it's going to impact your numbers for today. And you're worried about that. If as a vice president, I'm waking up and worried about somebody calling out in the warehouse, I'm worried about the wrong things. So that's where that misalignment is.
So really what I'm hearing you say is where our focus is or where our attention is tells us where we're operating, which horizon we're operating in. And if there is a mismatch between what either our job description says or what the expectations of our results are, then that can tell us then we're actually misaligned with which horizon we should be in compared to where we currently are.
Exactly. Well, and I have even a more real example that I think a lot of people might relate to is email. Walk in the morning and you get derailed or sucked in to your email and that's all you're doing for the first 4 or 5 hours, you may be operating in the wrong horizon.
But I get important communication on action items that need to take place in my email.
And those action items are due when?
Immediately, as soon as I receive the email.
Yes. And as a vice president, you might not be focusing on the right thing. So
very accurate.
Yeah. And you know, if you're a frontline person, a frontline supervisor, you want to act on those immediate emails that come in because they need to solve that day. So people in other time horizons, you don't want to delegate work to those supervisors that they're going to get hijacked that day to then have to work on for 3 or 4 days. It's really like, what's the urgency for that particular day? And then delegate longer term or more realistic time frames for them to do that work that they would need to be pulled away to do a little bit longer in that Horizon 2, I talked about last week how they're really that bridge between the tactical execution and mm-hmm. and the strategic. So they really can get hijacked and into those day-to-day problems. I recommend for leaders in that Horizon 2 to scan all of your emails and identify what can I delegate out. Then you manage that delegation. That then becomes your action item rather than actually doing the work or responding, doing the response to that particular, finding the information out and responding to that. So if not, it can really just become a whole day of doing all the urgency that pops up. And that becomes the work. And that clarity and the focus you need to have on the strategy dissipates.
Well, I think we could probably talk a whole episode on the whole mm-hmm. email fact, right?
Yeah.
Of we get way too many emails and how do you manage your inbox? And I love to hear all the different strategies on those. But I think that's a prime example of, if we are trying to clear out our inbox every day and we aren't accomplishing the things that we need to, then that is a great indicator of which horizon we're operating in and which horizon do we need to operate in. Because we can't do what's expected in the horizon that we should be in if we are operating in a horizon below us.
Yeah, so really look at what have I been entrusted to do for the company? And am I operating at that right level? So look first at that. What is the company entrusting me to do? Then you can look at your behaviors. So it starts with self-awareness. Our original conversation is how do we drive alignment? Because alignment helps to make sure that corporate goals and strategy are attained. And the first step to that is aligning yourself. So you have to be curious about, you know, where am I on this particular one? So this framework, there's other ways to get aligned, I feel quite sure. But this framework, it provides that leadership focus on how to align within this construct of time and time horizons.
Well, and I think that self-awareness piece is so important because we have to be able to know where we're at and be able to name the horizon we're in. Because if we can't do that, then we can't manage, right? Whether we should stay in the horizon that we're currently operating in or make sure that we're pulling ourselves into the correct horizon.
You know, it sounds like our conversation is moving into the next thing we wanted to talk about, aligning systems. And before we do that, I just want to put a bow on some of what we've just talked about in terms of aligning yourself. A couple of key points. Aligning yourself is about awareness. When you get that awareness, you're discovering what your gaps are. And when you know what your gaps are, you can actually start to act on them to close that gap. So in relation to the strategic leadership alignment model, when you see yourself in that wrong horizon, you can pull your focus back to where it actually belongs. So the framework gives you that ability to, you see that you're in the wrong place, and you can pull yourself back to it. When you're oriented to where you need to be on that time horizon, your calendar takes care of itself. Everything gets clearer. The collaboration is stronger and easier. It just creates things that are smooth. When that alignment starts to fray or to go slightly out of bounds, it'll pull you in the different direction. And the pull is very strong. And so let's shift our focus now to scale that clarity to how the team operates to be successful within that.
And with that, we need to create some kind of guardrails, right? We need to create some kind of scaffolding to help hold up the work that we should be doing. And if, as you mentioned, if we're in the wrong horizon, we're going to go off course very quickly, very easily. And as I was kind of reading through, I thought about going bowling and the bumper pads, you know.
Yeah.
Felt like
those are very helpful.
Those are very helpful, very helpful. You know, thinking through how do you create those bumper pads so that you can not just stay in your horizon, but then also be alerted or reminded when you're starting to go off course a little bit.
And, you know, dashboards are very prevalent in the world of work. Dashboards, some sort of visual display board or some sort of scorecard, whatever their language is, what is some way to put up, well, here's our target and how are we doing against our target? And I think that is fabulous. I think many companies stop short because they'll create one, but it fits the time horizon for the person who created it.
Well, and I love the saying of what gets measured gets done.
Yes.
And so if you're in the wrong time horizon, then you potentially could be measuring the wrong thing, and the wrong thing could be getting done, but it's not moving the needle or making work so inefficient that it is such a challenge.
Because the other people around you are chasing the numbers that you say are important, but they aren't numbers that they're necessarily responsible for, nor can they really impact. Somebody in Horizon 3, that the C-suite creates this fabulous dashboard that's going to help them know if the company's on track. Those are leading indicators for them to see if they're on track for what they're responsible for. So that could be a lagging indicator for the people in the front line, because it counts what they did. Here are our production numbers for today. So it was their lagging indicator, not a leading indicator, but that becomes a leading indicator for the top. So I say all of that not to confuse people about leading and lagging, but it is different for the different horizons. So you do need to have different measures. You need to have different systems and different ways to count what the work is and different ways to figure out, are you ahead or behind at the different horizon levels?
Well, and I think an important component to that, or it could be its own system in itself, right, is that shared language of time orientation, because it is a collaborative nature when we think about an organization and producing results, and it takes people at each horizon in order to accomplish that. But if we're talking different languages, then there's typically going to be conflict that comes up or misalignment with what is the priority and what is the expectation.
It can become really personal if you don't. If you don't have that shared language, it's like I'm right and you're wrong, you know, and so there becomes a fight over that territory rather than here's our combined focus for it. And I think the language will be different in the different horizons as well.
Well, because the focus is different. Yeah,
yeah, because the focus is different. Yeah.
Yeah. So that would make sense for the language to be slightly different.
So what are some of the systems that would be useful? Mm-hmm. So, Jonna, you refer to systems as scaffolding. So they're like the scaffolding that hold the work up. And we talked about dashboards as a type of a system. What are some other systems that our listeners may be able to relate to?
Well, I think the first one that comes to mind is what is referred to as leader standard work. So if you think about what is the work that needs to be done on a regular basis at each level inside of each horizon, and when we deviate from that leader standard work, then we're able to ask our question, okay, does it still fall within this horizon, or are we operating outside of that horizon, right? So that the leader standard work creates almost like a structure or a checklist for us to be able to operate and stay within that horizon.
I think that's a great example of a system.
And I think, again, some of us are much better at doing leader standard work. I think I'm not one that typically follows a standard when it comes to work. So again, you have to find the system that works for you. But I also think it's important to make sure that we do create a system that also is those guardrails that allows us to be alerted when maybe we're going off track. And I think one of those would be some kind of feedback mechanism. So we talked a lot about creating that common language within the team or the organization so that there is some kind of feedback loop that tells me, hey, you're operating outside of your horizon, or what is it that you're trying to accomplish by operating outside of. So creating that mechanism where the information, those data points can come back to us, and then we can either pull ourselves up or we can adjust and make sure that we're operating within the horizon where we should be.
And I think the performance management system, performance review process, whatever you call it at your place of work, is a good indicator of whether or not you're in the right horizon. We encourage you to look at your job description. Does your performance appraisal, are you being appraised against some of the things you were hired for or not? Are you praised or perhaps negatively dinged because you're not doing some things and they aren't even on your job description? So that may be an indicator of a potential misalignment. And I think a lot of it comes back to what we have repeated about intentionality of words and descriptions, that the language matters in what you're doing.
Well, and I think one other strategy that we could do is just that daily practice of asking ourselves, what is our role's time horizon and where do I need to operate today? I think obviously there are going to be things that come up that we're going to have to handle. And yes, we may have to operate outside of our specific horizon, but making sure that we have those systems in place as those guardrails will allow us to, for the majority of the time, stay in the horizon that we should be in order to be effective and efficient at what we're doing. But I think ultimately, it's sustaining it, right? It's easy to say, we're going to do this thing. We're going to ask ourselves these questions on a daily basis, but life gets busy, work gets busy. So let's talk a little bit about how do we sustain it in this ever-changing environment?
Consistency. Yeah. Alignment isn't about just a one-time thing. We've gotten in alignment and we're good. So we could just check the box and keep going. It is a daily rhythm, monthly cadence, whatever that measure is, you need to intentionally repeat that rhythm and put it in place. So those rituals make those systems second nature. And what you said earlier, you know, what gets measured gets done. So you do need to have an element of measure. So if you want something to become systematic, you've got to also measure it. And the thing is that, let's say you do all of this work and you check the box, you've got an alignment in. If you're not measuring it, people are going to go back to their comfort zones of what they were doing before. So the systems really do help keep that culture in place, and it helps to get through some of those tough times that may happen, because people can trust that system. They know what to expect when you've been doing it repeatedly.
And I sit here and think of, okay, how can I do this for me? Because I know I mentioned in the last episode, my biggest takeaway was meetings usually have three different horizon conversations going on at one time, and people walk away with, okay, I think I know what I'm supposed to do, but I'm not sure, right? So for me, thinking through like the whole idea of meetings and making sure that the horizon within that conversation is on target is simply by asking that question, what horizon are we solving for in this meeting? And if the conversation takes us to a different horizon, well, then that's where we need to start with. We need to start with making sure that the conversations are where they need to be. And if the conversation needs to happen at that different horizon, then we need to stop and ask, well, do other people need to be involved, right? Just because we have a certain group of people in and we've identified we're in the wrong horizon, well, maybe we need to include people that are in that horizon.
That's a great point, because why hash it out to then have to talk about it again? Because you don't have the right decision makers in the room or the right stakeholders that would need to have some input. You and the team may still have the ultimate decision, but the other stakeholders weren't there as well too. So I think having that horizon check in the middle of a conversation is a great way to do that, whether it's a one-on-one or a team meeting, to just embed that as part of a standard practice of checking to see if is our conversation in the right horizon here?
Well, and it kind of makes me chuckle, because I'm like, is that why we have meetings to plan meetings?
I think so.
Because we're having a meeting and then we realize that we need to have a different meeting. So it could potentially help us be more effective if we're just calling it out.
Yeah, it is possible. Because, you know, with meetings in particular, we say, let's have a meeting, but you don't often hear people talking about, here's the purpose of the meeting, here are the decisions that need to be made in the meeting. If you can get to that point of the conversation, rather than stopping at, hey, let's have a meeting and who should be there, insert a question in between. Let's have a meeting. What decisions need to be made in that meeting? Who needs to be in the room to make those decisions? And I think we leave that question off. I know I do. What decisions need to be made? It's usually just, what do we need to talk about?
Exactly. Well, and I just sit here thinking, because I am one the world's worst about putting a meeting and not sending out an agenda. And I've gotten better at it because there are people on my team who live by agendas. And that is something that I really strive for, to meet people, right? However, there are plenty of times when I'm like, I apologize, there's no agenda. But so I'm wondering if it's a compromise and allows us to be on target with the horizon that we need to be in. And not necessarily putting an agenda together, but saying, here's the purpose, here's what decisions need to be made, and here's who needs to be involved, I think could be a great strategy that could sustain over time.
I know that I've evolved over time to always put a purpose. Here's the purpose of this meeting. And if there's key points, I'll put a couple of key points, but I really haven't said, here are the decisions that need to be made. I'll put, here's what needs to be discussed. Looking back, I could see how putting, you know, what decisions need to be made just makes it a very different meeting to relate to. That I know if I receive that, I would connect to it way more differently, and I would be much more engaged and want to go.
Well, and I think that goes back to, this doesn't happen by just chance, right? Operating in the right horizon at the right time in our role just is not, you know, the stars aligning. It's something that we have to be intentional about. And once we've identified that there's that gap, in order to make sure that we are staying within that horizon, it just takes those small shifts over time that keeps us on target of where we need to go.
Okay. So what we're talking about right now is how to sustain this alignment. Once we get it and how to maintain alignment, one of the things you and I just talked about was embedding it within our current structures, our meetings and conversation. What are other ways that we can ensure the sustainment of alignment?
I do think incorporating conversations about priorities and expectations.
What do you mean by that?
So again, when we think back through, how do we know where we should be or how do we know where we are, is identifying what the expectations are of us, right? Mm-hmm. And the results that's being produced. So if we make it a habit of having those conversations really around the priorities and expectations, then that's going to allow us to operate within the horizon that we need to, because we know, okay, I'm expected to be able to talk about these quarterly things, right? And if that's what I'm expected, then I know that I need to prioritize those things that are going to be more of that intermediate focus, as opposed to, okay, I have to report out on these quarterly things, but now I want daily numbers. And if I'm focused on the daily numbers, then that's going to, again, alert me. But then, you know, if we incorporate those conversations on a regular basis, then that is going to allow us to sustain being within the horizon where we should be.
So setting the expectation right up front and then continuously following up on what the expectation was.
Exactly.
So whether it be through having dashboards up or having visual display boards up to track some of that information, because the person that you're expecting to gather it needs to put it somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. So embedding the horizon conversation in our existing conversations and structures, setting the clear expectations and then following up on those expectations. These aren't massive changes. They're really kind of little steps. And I think that's the key to alignment. It's you can create lasting change through these incremental shifts in what we're doing. Okay, so sustaining alignment is really about building those new habits of leadership when you come down to it.
And the easiest way to build those new habits of leadership is to embed them inside of the core framework. And as we were talking, curiosity is one of those things where we can ask a million questions. But once we have named the horizon that we should be at, I think it's asking that question of what evidence are we ahead or behind? Because then that's going to help us know, are we in the right horizon, operating outside of that horizon? So just being curious about our results and what we're producing, and does that align with the horizon that we should be in?
I love that question the most. How do you know if you're ahead or behind? Because it's not an easy question to ask sometimes.
Especially in roles that don't have clear, quantifiable data points.
Yeah.
And I know that I have worked with individuals who've shifted from an operational standpoint, and they're, you know, they look at numbers all day long, and then they move into a role where it's a little bit more has a little bit more fluid to what does success look like. And so it is a hard shift for people to see, am I ahead or behind?
Yeah. When I look at the core framework in relationship to the strategic leadership alignment model framework, so the SLAM framework, of the four, I think for me, the openness one is, yes, it's part of curiosity, but it really is being willing to talk with others about, here's where I think I am, here's where I think you are, here's where we should be. Being willing to talk about it from that lens helps people to be more effective in their daily function of a leader. It helps them to appreciate that you're in a different lane than another person is and trust them to get their lane done. So the openness one of all four, I think, is the one that's a forerunner for me.
Well, and I think any one of them, so whether we're talking about curiosity, openness, reflection, or embrace, any one of them can help us start making those incremental shifts so that we can consistently operate inside of the horizon that we need to be operating in. And we're all human, and we are going to be asked to do things. We're going to have to get some things done and operate in other horizons. But I think it's knowing when we're doing that and knowing when we need to pull back out really is the key.
So this leads us to our reflection. Think of this past week, one decision that you made, or even a meeting that you attended. If you could replay that moment for alignment, what's the one move you would make differently?
That's a powerful question, and I've already thought about several. Unfortunately, we are out of time. So our next episode is going to be focused in on meeting people where they are, which is so important as a leader, as well as an individual. But don't forget to access our resources on our website, www.questtothecore2, and our discussion guides are out there as always.
We have a very special thanks to Grammy-recognized hit songwriter Cliff Goldmacher for our theme song. Please go and check out his information on our website and support him.
And remember, alignment isn't a same-day project. It's a today habit. So until next time, start with your compass, tune your systems, and sustain with simple metrics that change decisions.